The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. So it says in the cards we gave or the text that we sent over recent weeks. But what does it actually mean? We wish you. Such a wish is a nice thought, isn't it? But it has no power to bring that about. So do you think that your Christmas and your New Year were merrier or happier because somebody wished it to be so? Well, of course not. It's not magic. And so on your birthday, when people say, you know, "I wish you all the best for the year ahead." Or on your graduation, they say, you know, "I wish you every success for the future." They're not saying anything more, are they, than just, "I hope things work out for you." Now, is that what we have here in Numbers chapter 6, in this famous blessing? So is this the spiritual equivalent of Christmas wishes or birthday wishes? The Lord bless you and keep you. I hope things work out for you. It may sound like that, but actually it is very different. This has real power. So straight after it, you'll see there, the Lord God says in verse 27, he says, "So they shall put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." So God said he would act in response to this blessing being spoken. He would bless. And what was true then is true today. That this isn't a wish. It's basically a prayer. So although the words are said in the first place to God's people rather than to God himself, the Lord promises to bless in response. And this blessing sums up everything we need most in 2022. So if we knew what's best for us, this is what we would ask for. It's a great prayer to make our own as we begin a new year. But who is to say it? Who is to say it? So back then it was the priests, so Aaron and his sons. If you look at verse 22, it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them.'" And so some people think that nowadays it's only for church ministers to say this. So they think that the church minister is the priest who declares the blessing. And so in some churches, the minister says at the end of the service this blessing. But a church minister is not a priest. So in the New Testament, that language is used in the first place of Jesus. So he is the priest who pronounces this blessing. And then priest language is used of all of God's people. They're all called priests in the New Testament. And so we can all say, and we can all pray this for one another as well as for ourselves. This is a prayer for you and for me. How's it structured? Well, there are three pairs of verbs describing what God will do. He'll bless and keep, he'll make his face to shine and be gracious, and he'll lift up his countenance and give peace. So an abundance of blessing from a generous God. And the prayer is laid out in three lines, with each getting longer. And I've just put on the screen there, you'll see it more clearly in the original. In the Hebrew it goes 3 words, 5 words, 7 words. And the impression is of a stream of blessing getting stronger and stronger. And this blessing is for all God's people. If you take out the word Lord, you are left with 12 words in the original, the number of the tribes of Israel. And it suggests that the blessing is for all God's people. And the word you is singular, bless you. So God's blessing is for each of us as individual believers. And this blessing is from the Lord. The Lord is repeated with the first verb in each line. And it emphasizes that he, the good, the generous God, is the source of every blessing. It all comes from his hand. as the hymn says, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And so we need to look to him. So then what are we to pray for? Let's take each line in turn. The first prayer is in verse 24. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you. Bless you is what people often say when you sneeze, isn't it? So it's just become polite etiquette. It's like saying please or thank you. And the words have become pretty meaningless, haven't they? But actually what it means is God bless you. Apparently it dates back to 590 AD when the bubonic plague was spreading across Europe. And one of the symptoms of the plague was coughing or sneezing. Sound familiar? And so saying God bless you, it was asking God to keep people from dying from the Black Death. It was a serious thing. And so here, this prayer for God's blessing, it's a serious business. The Lord bless you. That is what we need more than anything else. More than anything. Because the alternative is terrifying. And the alternative to God's blessing is God's curse. At the final judgment, it's binary. Yeah, it's one or the other. So Jesus will say to some people, this is in Matthew 25, 34 and 41, he'll say to some people, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom. But to the rest, he will say, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire. So eternal blessing or eternal curse, those are the options. So how do we get the blessing? Well, that really is what the whole plot line of the Bible story is about. When the first people rebelled against God, God cursed the ground, he cursed the serpent. But then God chose Abraham and he promised that in him all the families of the earth would be blessed. And that promise was fulfilled in Abraham's descendant, Jesus. So Acts 3:26 says that God sent him to bless you. And Galatians 3:13 says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, so that in Christ the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. So when we say, God bless you, we're praying that people will trust in Jesus, will keep trusting in Jesus, through whom God's blessing now comes. So we're praying for an ongoing and a deeper experience of these blessings in Christ. Now these blessings we enjoy through Christ are above all spiritual blessings. In the Old Testament, God's blessing was experienced in quite material ways as well. Land, children, health, prosperity. But as with so much in the Old Testament, these concrete things were pictures of spiritual realities in the New Covenant. So God's blessing now does not mean that we will be healthy, wealthy. What it means is what Ephesians 1:3 says, that the Father has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Chapter 1 of Ephesians talks about us being chosen and adopted and redeemed and forgiven and given the Spirit and promised an eternal inheritance. Now that's something to give thanks for and to pray for. Lord, please bless me in the year ahead. You have blessed me so richly in Christ. I'm now your redeemed, forgiven child with your Spirit, with eternal hope. Please continue to bless me in these ways and lead me into a deeper experience of these blessings. Well, that's something to pray for ourselves and for others. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you and, it says, keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. We need the Lord to keep us. To keep means to watch over, to guard, to protect, to preserve. So when Jacob fled for his life from his brother Esau, this is Genesis 28:15, God promised Jacob, I am with you and I will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. Well, that's what we need. That's what we need as we journey through this world to the heavenly country and the heavenly city. so many dangers, so many threats that we face. We can't possibly make it to the end unless God keeps us. And so we need to pray for that. So as I begin this new year, Lord, please keep me. Please hold on to me, protect me, deliver me throughout the year ahead. As John Newton said in his famous hymn, he said, "Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has kept me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." Well, how concerned we are for our physical protection with our vaccines and boosters and masks. How concerned we are for our financial protection with our insurance and our savings. Well, how concerned we should be also for our spiritual protection. The Song of Ascents is a collection of pilgrim psalms. It's Psalms 120 through to 134. And the language of this blessing here in number 6, it often surfaces in these songs of ascents. And Psalm 121 is a case in point. It was our first reading. One of my favourite psalms. And it's all about God keeping his people. In fact, the word keep, it comes up 6 times in the 8 verses of that psalm. The Lord, it says, is your keeper. Well, that is what we need. The Lord keep you. But, and this is so important, the fact that the Lord keeps us, it is not an excuse to be spiritually lazy or inactive or complacent. We also need to keep ourselves. So it's both and. So Jude, verse 24 says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling." But just a few verses before, in Jude 21, it says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." So God keeps us as we keep ourselves. We need to abide in Christ, to persevere in obedient faith. 1 Peter 1 verse 5 says that we are, by God's power, we are being guarded through faith. So we need to keep going in faith in Christ. We need to keep living it out. We need to keep using the means of grace, the habits of grace that God has provided, his word, prayer, fellowship with one another. We had a guy who for many years was on the fringe of the barge. He'd come for a bit and then he would just disappear for months. But basically, he just did his own thing. And he seemed spiritually very keen. He spent lots of time, hours, reading the Bible, praying on his own, discussing with Jehovah's Witnesses, sharing the gospel with them. But, he never saw the importance of fellowship. He never saw the importance of that. So no matter what we said to him, he just didn't get it. I bumped into him a while back this last year, and he says he's no longer a Christian, doesn't believe anymore. What happened? Well, only God knows, but he neglected a key means of grace, and that was surely a significant factor. This blessing in number 6 here was spoken to the generation of God's people, who came out of Egypt. If you go to chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us that. But this generation who came out of Egypt, they did not make it to the promised land. They died in the wilderness. We say, well, why didn't God keep them? Well, when you read the story, because they rebelled, they disobeyed, and they hardened their hearts. And this generation is a warning to us. So praying, "Lord, keep me," it's not a magical protection. We have to persevere, or like them, we will perish. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The second pair, verse 25, "The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you." The Lord make his face to shine upon you. God's face is like, it's like the light of the sun. And when it shines on us, it brings favour and light and life and salvation. And so that is what we need more than anything. "Lord, make your face to shine upon me." But it's not automatic. So God has an angry face as well as a smiley face, if we can put it that way. And as sinful people, the angry face That is what we deserve. 1 Peter 3 verse 12 says that the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And in Revelation 6:16, at the final judgment, people are hiding and they're calling to the mountains and to the rocks. They're saying, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? So God's face there in anger and judgment is a terrifying thing. Recently, my old primary school, they got in touch because they'd set up an alumni website and they were tracking down former pupils and they wanted photos and so on. And flicking through some old photos, it reminded me of the headmaster, a guy called Mr. Bonner. And he was this huge guy, former rugby player, and he was a scary guy if you got him angry. How much more so with God? As the Hulk says, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. But our sin, it does anger a just and holy God. So how can we experience his smile? How can we experience the warmth of his face shining upon us? Well, that is through Christ and what he's done for us. As 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 says, we experience the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. On a sunny summer's day, do you ever close your eyes, look at the sun? You feel the warmth on your face and you feel like you see the red glow behind your eyelids. That's what it's like to look to Christ. And that through him we experience the light of God's face shining upon us. And one day, Revelation 22 verse 4 promises God's people, they will see his face. The Lord God will be their light. Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 hymns. She spent most of her life blind. As a 6-week-old baby, a fake doctor gave her the wrong treatment and it left her blind. But she later said, when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Saviour. What a blessing to have God's face shine upon us in Christ, both now and in eternity. And that is something to give thanks for and to pray will continue and to ask God to restore if we feel the clouds have obscured it. As Psalm 80 says three times, restore us, O God, let your face shine, that we may be saved. So the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Now, God's shining face and amazing grace, they go together. So God's face can only shine upon us if he is gracious to us. Grace means that God gives us what we don't deserve. He forgives us all our sins. Now, this grace of God comes to us through the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, John 1:14. Through the gospel of the grace of God, Acts 20:24. We're justified freely by his grace, Romans 3:24. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, by grace you have been saved through faith, not a result of works. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation, Titus 2:11. And so, be gracious to me. Be gracious to me. That should be our daily prayer. If God were to give us what we deserve, we'd be lost. We need him to keep pouring out on us what we don't deserve, his amazing grace. And that is as true 30 years into being a Christian as it was on the day that you became a Christian. Now, if we stop praying this, God be gracious to me, if we stop praying this, what will happen? We'll become Pharisees. Remember the story Jesus told of the Pharisee and the tax collector? The tax collector prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But the Pharisee prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Self-righteousness, very, very ugly. God hates it. Be gracious to me should be our constant prayer. And if it isn't at the moment, we should pray for conviction of sin. As John Newton's hymn says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, the final prayer, verse 26. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord lift up his countenance. I'm not quite sure why the English translators have gone for countenance here instead of just face. Again, in the Hebrew, it's exactly the same word as there in verse 25, just face. The Lord lift up his face upon you. It means to pay attention to us, to look on us for good. Amazing thought, isn't it, that the Creator, the ruler of everything, would lift up his face on you, on me, and be committed to our good. But again, we don't just sit and do nothing. Our responsibility is to seek his face. So in Psalm 27, verse 7, David says to God, "You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, Lord, your face I do seek." So like David, we need to be doing that. Actively seeking God's face by praying, by reading his word, by turning from sin. So in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God promises to hear if his people humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now, as we do that, the Lord lifts up his face upon us. But if we don't, then the Lord will hide his face. That's the opposite of him lifting up his face on us, to hide his face from us. And so in Psalm 27, just after David says, "Your face, Lord, do I seek," he then says, "Hide not your face from me." Now, why would God do that? Well, if we go our own way, if we persist in some sin, if we neglect the means of grace, the Lord will hide his face from us. So in Psalm 30, verse 7, David says to God, "You hid your face, I was dismayed." This is part of God's loving discipline of us, that when we go astray, he hides his face from us. And he feels distant. It's a bit like the sun goes behind the clouds and it feels colder. Now perhaps that's how you feel with God at the moment. Well, the solution is to repent, to turn back to God, to acknowledge our sin to him, to turn from it, and in faith to seek his face. And then he will lift his face upon us again. But sometimes in life, it can feel like God has hidden his face, even though he hasn't. So when we're going through hard times, when circumstances are against us, it can feel like God is not answering our prayers, and we can feel like God is hiding, although he isn't. And so in Psalm 13, verse 1, David is going through a really difficult time, a sad time, and he cries out to God, "How long will you hide your face from me?" Now, God wasn't hiding, but that's how it felt to David. And perhaps that's your experience at the moment. Maybe you feel very low for whatever reason, and God feels very distant. And you feel like God is hiding his face. But our feelings are not necessarily reliable. We need to keep seeking the Lord's face. Verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Each of the three lines in the blessing gets longer. 15 consonants, 20 consonants, then 25. As it builds up to this crescendo, peace. This is the ultimate blessing. The Hebrew shalom. Old Testament shalom, excuse me, it wasn't just the absence of war. It was the sum total of all God's gifts to his people. Fullness and wholeness of life. Well-being, health, prosperity, security, salvation, long life. And in the New Testament, peace has three dimensions. So in Christ, we have peace with God, and we're reconciled to him. And we have peace with one another, and we have peace in our hearts. And this peace comes to us by God's grace. That's how verses 25 and 26 go together. So through his grace, we have peace. Grace and peace. Those words sound familiar. Together, grace and peace. They should do, because just about every New Testament letter begins with these words. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the only New Testament letters that don't are Hebrews, James, and 1 and 3 John. Grace and peace. It's not just a standard greeting. It's not just like saying, hi there, folks. It is praying that they will experience the two things that matter most in the world. God's grace and the peace that flows from it. And that will experience them more and more. So 1 and 2 Peter, they both begin. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Multiplied to you. What will 2022 bring for you? What do you want most in the year ahead? What we need most is grace and peace from God. And these things being multiplied to us. If we have that, we've got what we need most. Anything else is bonus. And if we don't have grace and peace from God, we've got nothing. But what are we praying for at the moment? What do we want God to do for us? Well, here's a great prayer to be praying for ourselves and for our loved ones throughout 2022. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. Amen.